Hey, we'll be back on the record, and at this time, we are moving to the appellants for presentation of their case.
So I think because you've got the witnesses and Kay, sorry, my brain is gone. Kay had left, she had a commitment. So if it's all right that we let WashDOT go, that would be super helpful.
Does anyone have any objection to that?
No objection.
No objection.
Okay. Please proceed. And I see we have a witness already. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give in this matter is the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
The state is calling Jeanette Lalonde. Ms. Lalonde, would you state your name for the record and spell it for us?
My first name is spelled G-I-N-E-T-T-E. My last name is L-A-L-O-N-D-E, and that's Jeanette Lalonde.
Are you employed?
I am.
Where at?
WSP.
What is WSP?
WSP is WSP USA is an engineering company. Formerly, it was Persons Brinkerhoff, and I've been at the company for a total of 17 years.
Good. Otherwise, we'd think you worked for the State Patrol.
That's right. That's right.
So, what is your position there?
I am in the acoustics and air quality and vibrations group, and I am a noise and air quality expert, and I work on a variety of noise and air quality projects, transportation infrastructure projects. I'm also moving into more project management for different roles recently.
Could you just briefly summarize your education?
Sure. I have my Bachelor's of Science in Civil Engineering from the University of Waterloo in Waterloo, Ontario, Canada. And I've taken various courses for noise and air quality throughout the time.
Okay. So are you currently assigned to assist the Alaska Noise Viaduct Replacement Project?
I am, yes. I've been on the project since 2001.
So, since the beginning, right?
Yes, since the beginning.
You and I both. So are you familiar with the application and the variance that we're here talking about today?
Correct. I compiled it with my...
Yeah, let me break that up a little bit. What was your role with respect to the application?
I am the lead noise analyst on the application. I compiled all the information that was given to me from the state, from our noise modelers, looking at previous applications and putting together the application for this project.
Did you draft the application or oversee it?
Sarah? I did, yes.
Do you have Exhibit 4 in front of you, and that's the application?
Yes.
Okay, can you turn to Exhibit 4 on that? It's on page 12. Can you describe what Exhibit 4 is?
So Exhibit 4 shows our locations for our noise measurement locations.
And was that the measurement that was taken just to support the application?
Correct. So measurements 1 through 4 were new measurements that were taken for this application. Measurements 5, 6, and 7, those were done for the previous bore tunnel noise variants. And because there's construction work that was going on at the time, I coordinated with CCI, and we decided to use the noise level limits that were previously done in the previous noise measurements. So those were taken a while ago, but those are the same noise level limits that are going to apply for this one.
Okay. And is that because there was too much construction going on at the time for new modeling?
Yeah, there's too much construction, as well as those noise level limits are currently working. So why start with something new when we know it's working?
How do these locations relate to the places where monitoring will be done during the demolition project?
So as part of the SDCI's decision, they have required to have noise monitors in each of these locations. We did get a clarification that was part of our appeals process, because we may not be able to get rights of entry for specific buildings where we had, or there might be some other For example, there's one building that does not have power available and roof access is spotty in case we have to monitor the equipment. So we're trying to find a better location for that might be a fit. And SDCI has to sign off on those locations.
So you, after you prepared the application, were you involved in further work for WSDOT with the processing of the application?
Yes, SDCI would come back with different questions. We'd have different conversations. There was different experts that were involved for either the demolition to further explain and give additional information that may not have been specific in the application itself. But we had several conversations with SDCI.
Okay. And was any additional information that they requested, was that provided by WSDOT?
It was. Anything that was, or it was talked about in some capacity, either not maybe a physical or an email, but it was discussed in a meeting. So they got that information.
What time periods did WSDOT initially request permission to do impact work at night?
So originally we asked for 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. and we didn't specifically ask to do impact work. What we asked is that there is a set of noise level limits that are from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Weekdays, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. weekends, and we asked for those noise level limits to be extended to 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week.
And how did that compare to what was actually provided in the final decision?
So in the final decision, SDCI did not give us an extension of those noise level limits on Sundays. So we have to stick with the Sundays or the existing code. On Monday through Friday, we got from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. instead of 10 p.m. And then on Saturdays, I believe it's from 9 to 5 or it's 8 to 5. I'd have to double check. But it starts at the regular hour and then it goes till 8 on Saturdays.
And is work still allowed after 8 p.m. on weeknights?
Work is still allowed, but it has to meet the existing code limits.
I'm sorry, can you repeat those levels again? You said 7 to 8 on weekdays, and then on weekends it was...
And on weekends, on Saturday, I have is there a copy of the decision?
It should be there. Is there a copy of the decision?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So for the impact work on Saturdays, it starts at 9 a.m.
Okay.
Until 8 p.m.
Thank you.
And then if you look at the Exhibit 1 at the back of the decision, does that summarize the limits that are allowed?
It does. The start of Exhibit 1, that's the hourly averages, and that's for non-impact work. And if you turn the page, it shows the impact work on the other side. Those are the noise level limits for the impact work. And so between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m., impact work has to meet the existing code noise level limits.
Okay. But other work after 10 p.m., between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. on weekdays would be trying to think how to describe it. That third line under non-impact for Monday through Friday, noise limits allowed for the various...
Correct. That would be 6 decibels above the existing baselines. It would be from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m.
Okay. So let's talk about the 6 decibel increase. Other witnesses have talked about the L1 and LEQ and all of that, and we've talked about this 6 decibel increase being allowed. Can you give us a description of what a 6 decibel increase is?
Sure. And there's also a table in the application that talks about that. That's on page 15. So it's Exhibit 6 of the application. And what we see is a 0 to 2 decibel increase is not noticeable to most people. A 3 decibel increase would be just noticeable. So if you're listening to television and you hear something goes on in the background or you want to raise it up, if you put it up, you'll put it up a couple and you won't really hear anything. And then you'll barely hear something. And so you put in another 2 levels and you hear that it's louder. That's what you would call as noticeable. So that's what I think of when I'm turning on my television. I got a couple. I'm like, oh, that's not quite loud enough. Or say somebody else is sleeping and I don't want to wake them up. And just that point where you notice the difference, that's what you would think of a 6 decibel increase.
Let's turn to page 35 of the application. And this talks about the proposed noise mitigation measures. Are you there?
Yep.
Okay. We've talked about earlier today about the work that can go on during the night after 10 p.m. And one of those items of work is potentially loading trucks. Is that work that is affected by any of these proposed mitigation measures?
So for the loading truck, they'd have to meet the noise level limits established in the noise variance. It's a performance base. Mitigation measure, and so it would be up to the design builder to meet those noise levels limits however they would be. So Brian mentioned bed liners, Ioana mentioned leaving rubble in the bottom of the truck. That would be up to the design builder to provide that different types of mitigation to meet that performance base. The additional noise level mitigation measures are where you get the most complaints, so the backup alarms. When you're talking about any kind of noise variance, it's very common because the whole nature of those backup alarms is so that you can hear it and that you really notice it. So that's what wakes people up. And so the city has required us to, or STCI has required us to use a strobe or broadband backup. And if you can't use that, then you have to have an observer must be used. So that's where you get a lot of noise complaints. The same thing, and one of the appellants mentioned it before, the tailgates, the make sure that they're properly fastened. So again, those are the typical amounts of, and then as well as the equipment idling for longer than 5 minutes. Those are your top complaints, and that's what you want to eliminate so that you're not waking people up in the middle of the night. That's really what your goal is.
I wanted to ask you a couple of questions about the independent noise monitor as well. We've talked about the fact that there is a requirement for an independent noise monitor. And I believe from the pages 36 and 37, 38 of the application. Can you just talk about generally what that requirement is for the independent noise monitor or independent inspector that's proposed as part of the application that is included as a condition?
Sure. So the independent noise monitor is anticipated to be, he will be on site during all nighttime work that pertains to the noise variance. They will be on site to perform an inspection within 60 minutes after receiving a complaint. It's also not just, so there's also a hotline number that residents can call. And they can either request a call back or they can be notified the next day or they could get no call back whatsoever. But they can make a phone call complaint as well as with the monitors that are out there. So you'll have the 7 monitors in place, but you'll also have, there'll have to be a monitor at least within 50 feet of the location of any work. So that even if you're not close to one of the permanent monitors, you'll still have a monitor that's there. And that will send automatic alerts or warnings. And as James Dasher testified to before, you'll have a lower threshold. So you're going to get a warning before you reach that peak so they can see something's going on so that we'll get a warning so that the independent noise monitor will be able to verify it. And then at the end of each week, there's going to be the independent noise monitor is going to write a report that states all of the phone calls they got, all of the exceedances that they got, And then what the result of their investigation is, and so whether or not it was caused. And as James said before, a lot of the times you'll get passing airplane or something along those lines. Sirens are a big one as well. And so you'll get that report. You'll be able to listen to it in real time, or the independent noise monitor, so he'll be able to verify whether or not it was a true exceedance of the noise variance. And those weekly reports will also be made available online. They will be publicly available online.
Okay, we have a couple of exhibits here. One of these, I should have asked you earlier, can you identify your resume? I don't know what number exhibit that is.
It is exhibit 10.
Yes, my resume.
Is that your current resume?
That is my current resume.
And then we have Exhibit 11, which is a letter from Seattle Department of Construction and Inspection. Do you have a copy of that?
I do, yes. This is that letter.
Can you identify what that is?
So as part of the noise variance decision, there were a few items that WSHA and myself wanted to clarify so that the design builder would be able to clearly meet the noise variant, the intentions of the noise variance.
Okay, and WSHDOT appealed the variance because of that.
Correct. WSHDOT appealed the noise variance just to get the clarification so that it does go into the design builder's contract so that they must follow it and have some clarity. And also in the bidding process, that all of the design builders who bid on the project had that level playing field.
Did you participate in talking with the staff at SDCI regarding those concerns about the clarification?
Yes, I did.
Can we just maybe quickly go through those and explain what some of the needs for clarifications were and what the clarifications were that the city and the state agreed to on the decision?
Sure.
Starting with condition number 3.
So if you go, and I assume the decision's been entered. But if you look at the decision under condition number 3, it said that the sound levels permitted in the code at 25.08.425C is further limited to the hours of 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. And for that language, limiting makes it sound like it's more restrictive, and so I wanted that to be the term to be extended. So we're not asking for a change in the noise level limits, we're just asking for an increase in the number of allowable hours.
So did that clarification change the result of the condition in the variance in terms of the number of hours?
It does not. It's the same.
Okay, let's go to the next one that pertained to condition number 4. What was that condition or clarification addressing?
So for condition number 4 was the BNSF railroad constraints. And so as part of our noise variance application, we put what our expected hours are. And in this condition, it doesn't provide any flexibility in those hours. And in response to our request to provide, because if we get more hours, then we can have less nights to do the work. And in response for that, SDCI stuck to their original wording, and that because they're only allowing under this major public project construction noise variance, only the hours that we asked for in the variance. So they did not provide, like, under this current variance. If we do need to extend the hours or hours change, temporary noise variances will need to be used for that.
And there was another clarification sought on condition number 4.
There was. Earlier, I believe on page 3, it said that we could only do work on page 3, the very first line. We could only do work between October 1st and December 31st, but we could not do work, is what BNSF told us at the time, between those dates. And so it was correctly stated here in condition number 4, but just it was a clarification on page 3 that was a mistake.
And how about the turn to the condition number 5? What clarification was needed on condition number 5? Was that just a restatement of that condition number five?
It was, and it was. And again, it was extended hours for condition number five.
And when you say extended hours, you mean extended from what the code would allow?
Correct.
Okay. And then there was also a clarification requested on condition number six. Can you explain that?
Correct, and I spoke to that a bit earlier about how if we the condition was that we have to have it at the same locations as our baseline, but if those baseline noise measurements, if those buildings aren't, either they don't provide rights of entries to get those noise monitor, that we could place it somewhere else that would be comparable to that location.
Okay. And when you selected those locations initially for the baseline monitoring, did you coordinate with SDCI in placing those locations?
Yes. There was a list of approximate areas based on whether or not we could get notifications. So we want to get the buildings that are closest to the work to get those baselines, because those are the people who are most affected.
So SDCI approved of or agreed with those locations?
Correct.
And then what was the clarification to condition 11?
That was about notice, and so that the 14-day notice would be a one-time notice as opposed to a notice every time a different phase of construction would occur.
And then were there other clarifications made to
to Exhibit 1?
Or the exhibit?
So to Exhibit 1, there was a clarification for where, even though it says no activity, so for example, over the railroad tracks under impact, where it says no activity is what the limit is, we asked to change that to be not specified. That would be similar to what was done for the ramps demo, because we didn't specify for the daytime limits. And so it was the same. We didn't, because what is allowable? Under our mitigation measures, we made a commitment to not do impact work from 10 to 7, but we did not make a commitment for no activity during regular working hours for the BNSF or for over the railroad. And so instead of it saying no activity, it would just be not specified, and you'd still have allowable noise levels for that because you'd meet existing code.
That's all my questions for Ms. Leibland.
Okay. Cross-examination by appellants.
So I'm obsessing about this one part that we talked about, that section with the criteria. So I've read some of your other apps, and you did much more in that area with other apps. So can you help me understand why it says what it says there?
Sure. So at the beginning of this process, WSDOT, and before I was involved, but it was much, I heard it talked about, was we believed the work could be done with temporary noise variances because mm-hmm. it was going to be, it's not going to be all in the same spot for the entire, for an entire 6 months period. It's going to be in different spots in different locations. And in conversations between WSDOT and SDCI, because temporary noise variances don't have as many mitigation measures associated with it, doesn't have an independent noise monitor associated, and because it's such a complicated project, the decision was made that this project did qualify for a major public project construction noise variance. So the magnitude of the impact was so great that it was obvious to everybody that it would. And then we also had more discussions about it with SDCI about the impacts to closing roadways for certain periods of time. The 40% that James Dasher spoke about, we had our construction experts come in and talk about the one thing that you do is your setup time and your so even though you might get 4 more hours as opposed to your 8 hours, those 4 more hours are actually worth more than 4 hours. It's worth more than half a day because you have to set up and reset up and do that extra time. So for that impact work, getting those 4 extra hours, how important that was to just keeping the process open. And again, trying to get the project done during the winter months. And so it impacts a lot less people who need their, if they don't have air conditioning, they need their windows open in the summer. And so we don't want to do the work that's then. And so, again, that's all shortening the project length. Mm-hmm. So we had many discussions with SDCI, even though in the report it's unfortunately only that one line. There was a big pushback for another project that you're probably referring to, the 520 project that I worked on. Mm-hmm. In our original application, it was similar. And there was a big pushback, so we did the economic impact of closing the roadway. And the economic impact was so great. It was over $500 million, which was of shutting down the roadways. And so that was more than the project cost. And so it was like once we had that evidence for another project, we could infer that you would have similar impacts, like societal impacts, on a project of this size. And then that was one of the exhibits, I believe, that Brian was speaking to earlier, that we did it as part of this project to quantify those. But again, it's the economic costs are so great, and the coordination and the expediency and trying to get the project done, that's why you see that a lower level of effort for that specific aspect than you do in other aspects of our application.
Mm. Yeah, because we might not be here if that was different. As a layperson, you know, I look at it and I'm like, wait a minute, something wrong here. I have a question about the, I think it's performance-based compliance. Is that
or correct?
Yeah. Yep. So that sounds kind of like trust me, right?
It sounds like it, but that's where the independent noise monitor comes into play, because you've got trust me, but verify.
Which is a perfectly reasonable way to go. I just, when I read the statute, it didn't seem, it seemed like the point of it and what they were asking for was to be specific. And it's okay to change it, but you need to be changing it with something that's equivalent, you know. So this is your field, not mine, but I'm just saying that I was a little surprised that happened, right? Because the point of having, I think, the plan early on was so that when the public looks at it, they can say, all right, this stuff is happening.
Do you have a question, Mr. Constantaris?
It's been a long day, so I'm not sure. It doesn't sound like a question, so. But I did intend to ask a question in there. I don't remember what I was talking about.
That's our minimum mitigation measures. That's your big ones, right?
Yeah.
That's where you're getting your bang for your buck. That's the performance base plus not allowing the impact, the backup alarms, the impact work, the type of work that's going to keep the complaints, and that's been prescriptive on several different, and SDCI learns from previous noise variances. Mm-hmm. And for example, I know of one project that was required a noise wall as part of the performance based, but then the design builder came back and said, we don't need a noise wall. And so the noise wall was taken out. And so that change was made. And so when you have the performance based, when you have a performance based, it's easier to manage than it is to have a lot of prescriptive. So I know what you're saying, like, oh, it'd be great to have all these prescriptive pieces. But again, then when you're changing things, what do you, because the design builder wants to know the noise level limit. That's the box that they have to work into. Mm. And that's been very successful.
And so the company that won the bid, have you had experience with them and noise?
I have not. I've heard, I mean, anecdotally,
yeah.
I've heard good things, but
okay.
Not.
What do you think of the idea of having sort of a community involvement with the oversight of the monitor?
I personally think it's not a great idea, because I think it would encourage people to stay up and look at the noise. If you had real time, I assume that's what you're saying, is real time, or are you looking for...
No, that was actually one thing, but I mean having sort of a committee or some people that were reviewing from the community to be able to say, oh, I see these reports, they're being handled well, and then they can communicate that back.
I have no opinion.
All right. I just got to ask this question. So appendix that or it's not an appendix.
The noise mitigation management mitigation plan.
There's a lot of that in the application.
There is.
So is that? I was really confused by that because it's the same document, I thought. But is there a reason that happens? Because when I read some other ones, they didn't do that.
So it is again to meet the code requirements. So there's requirements for the noise mitigation management plan. There are requirements for the application. Some of them are similar, and so it's done to be it's. I could probably take out some pieces, but because it works. So for this piece right here, so it was overly verbose to be correct.
I just was confused.
Sorry,
because I was like, didn't I just read this?
You did.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. It's restated. It's restated just for to make sure that it meets all the requirements.
Okay. That's all.
Okay.
Thanks.
I think I just have one question, Ms. LeVon, Mike Roberts. Hi. This may not even be something that you can respond to. I'm looking at this graph,
okay.
Exhibit 6A and 6B, and thinking about it a little bit more, I noticed that they're described in the lower right-hand corner as Category 4 and Category 5. Is there access to Category 1 through whatever that we could see?
I think that might just be a labeling issue for Category 4 and Category 5.
I see.
Just based on the type of activity when we were breaking it up to see what we're modeling. And so I think that's just a holdover from that.
So there aren't any similar graphs about LEQ noise levels at different locations?
Just the ones that are in the application. So,
well, that answered my question.
Okay, that's what I think that is a mislabel. Okay.
Well, if it turns out that there are some available, I would love to see them.
Yeah, because this is what we modeled was what we thought the loudest activities were at that time to show that.
In the whole project, is that what
for those
specific areas.
So the specific areas that are representative of when it moves down the line and other what can you expect during that time.
Right.
You're welcome.
Any redirect?
No. The state rest.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next witness.
The state is resting.
Oh, the state is resting. Okay. Well, and you're not prepared to go forward this afternoon?
I'm actually feeling kind of nauseous, so I don't think I might have eaten something wrong. But if you want to go, I can pull myself together. So, but I do feel like Kay does want to provide some evidence her speech or presentation. So we thought it was going to go longer today, that we were going to have time. So I'm just hoping that tomorrow she can give her.
Well, I mean, this hearing has been scheduled for quite a while. And, you know, we worked it so that people would clear their calendars to be here. And if they're not interested in being here, then that's not the issue of the examiner. So I don't
understand.
Know. How much evidence do you have to present?
I only have one. I'm talking about Kay, not for me. I mean, I can do mine.
Okay.
Today. Yeah. So
let's go ahead and have you do your witness.
I don't have a witness. I just have one document left.
Okay.
So, would it be all right if we just had 5 minutes for me to pull myself together?
Sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
We'll take a 5-minute recess.